John came preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Busy days, these. Are you ready for Christmas? Is pretty much the password. And a word of thanks to those of you, busy as you were, who took time out this past week to help us to prepare our church, and things look pretty good now. We're pretty ready for Christmas. Thank you for asking. Fittingly enough, this Advent, we've been considering the preparation part of the Mass, which is the offertory. St. Vincent Ferrer says that there's another symbolism for the offertory. It's not during the preparation, it is reparation. That is to say, it stands for the spirit of deference of Jesus Christ towards the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph. He was keenly conscious of the suffering, the tears he had caused his mother and his father by his obedience to the Eternal Father. And now he wanted to do anything possible. Children, are you listening? To make it up to his parents. So he, in a wonderful example of humility, leaves the teachers in the temple, and he goes down with them to Nazareth to console them for the sadness he caused them by his omission, says St. Vincent. And then he served them. That's a switch. In many families, you don't see that, but he served his parents. He was subject to them. And this humble service is symbolized by the offertory, by the priest arranging the chalice and host, going back and forth. That stands for deference. As St. Paul and St. Matthew said, the Son of Man is not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. When he was a boy, St. Vincent says, he would help his dad in the carpenter shop. And he used to go with the other boys to the spring at some distance from Nazareth to fetch water back for his mother. At the age of 30, he left his parents. St. Vincent doesn't think that St. Joseph had died yet. And he went directly to the River Jordan, where his cousin was holding forth. John was preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, sort of an Old Testament sacramental. And there, Jesus was baptized by the last prophet. Not indeed that it was necessary for him, says St. Vincent, but he accepted it so that through contact with his sacred body, there might be communicated to the water the power of regeneration, saving those who believe in our Lord and who obey him. And this the priest symbolizes when he washes his fingers, not because they're necessarily dirty, not through a strict necessity at all. He's pure in conscience, the priest is, through confession. He's clean through a natural bath. But to commemorate the testimony of humility which Jesus Christ gave throughout his life, by being baptized. Imagine our Lord, the Lamb, lining up with sinners to take his turn to wade into the water. That's the first meaning of the lavabo of the Mass. Humility. The hand washing stands for that. And the second meaning is that the Lord himself, at the Last Supper, just before the first Mass, girded himself, put kind of an apron on, and knelt down and washed the feet of his apostles. That's pretty humbling. You call me Lord and Master, and you do well, for so I am. But I have given you an example that as I have done, so do you also. Peter pipes up and objects, "Never, Lord." But Peter's nevers are written on water. And a moment later, he wants to be washed from head to toe by our Lord. And our Lord says, "Well, look, if you're washed, you're good. You just need your feet washed now, Peter. That's enough." Feet and hands had to be clean back then. It was a cultural thing and a matter of consideration for the time and place, because people went barefoot or in open sandals, and you know how annoying that can be if you get little grains of sand between the toes when you're out on vacation or something. And they didn't have forks, and they didn't have spoons. Everybody put their hand into the common dish, so it would be only thoughtful to bring clean hands to the table. Ever since the beginning, bishops and abbots and kings and queens and saints have washed the feet of the poor. St. Benedict says to do that in his holy rule, and St. Gregory washed the feet of 13 every day. St. Hedwig and her husband did that. St. Elizabeth of Hungary, they say, on their knees, they would do that. It's a sacramental. And we still do it just once a year on Maundy Thursday. Believe me, it's humbling and it's hard work, but it's a touching ceremony. Some year, just show up for the Maundy. It's around noontime on Holy Thursday. But it's the lavabo we're looking at today. The idea is this: no, I'm almost there, but stop. No, as a matter of fact, I'm not good to go. Amplius lava me, more thoroughly wash me from my sins, O Lord. The tearful prayer of David in his Miserere. So the priest is all the time washing his hands. He washes his hands in the sacristy before Mass, before he vests. And he used to wash them twice at every Mass. A bishop still does, for a pontifical, such as we will have at midnight, before the offertory and again after the offertory. The idea back then and for bishops still is, I think, a bit of freshening up is the polite phrase. And also it's a way of honoring the bishop as a successor of the apostles. Technically, in the rubrics, young noblemen are supposed to do this hand washing. I've never been able to round up any, but if anyone would like to apply for the job, just let Teresa know in the office. Of course, the lavabo in the early centuries was a necessity. What with the priests presenting the produce from the people, fruit, and then there'd be candles maybe, quantities of bread and wine. What they didn't use for Mass would go to the clergy or for the poor. And it's still a necessity after a Mass with incense. Although Paddy does his best to keep the thurible clean, the tar from all of that smoke collects on the chains and then it gets on your hands. And, well, you don't want to consecrate with dirty hands. And bishops need their hands washed quite a bit, because you'd never know what a bishop has to deal with the course of a day. But otherwise, regular priests at Mass, they just wash their fingertips, and that stands for cleansing yourself from the slightest stain, the shadow of sin. And to show reverence for the Blessed Sacrament, we call these the canonical digits. These are the fingers which will touch the sacred host, and after they first, they're washed, and then after they do, Father holds them together until they are purified over the chalice. But it is interior purity of heart, as we get near the consecration, that is symbolized. Our Lord did that, washing the feet of the apostles, just before he ordained them and offered the first Mass. Christmas is coming, Christ's Mass. Am I ready? Well, don't worry, I'm not making a list and checking it twice, but you know you do need confession, and you should check those fingertips by self-examination. Holy water is helpful. It's a sacramental. Take it devoutly next time you go, with sorrow for sin and love. It's a way of being forgiven your venial sins. And a good act of contrition, you should all the time be saying acts of contrition, and maybe a couple of fervent mea culpas at the confiteor. That wouldn't hurt. Monsignor Knox says that washing has a bit of the sense of ending one activity and starting another. Just as you'd wash up at the end of the day's work before you sit down to supper. Which brings me to Pilate. My cherished First Communion prayer book had a picture of Pilate washing his hands for the offertory, and that's the common symbolic explanation of that ceremony as we meditate the Passion. Pilate wished to finish with Christ and to wash his hands of him. Well, it wasn't his idea. He tried his best. But don't you know it was the Jews clamoring about Caesar and the kings? And, well, what could Pilate do? He, Pilate, was certainly innocent. We do that, don't we? When it comes to our faults, we exculpate ourselves when we should be doing a couple of extra mea culpas and make it hurt. The church appoints the 25th psalm to be said by memory as the priest washes his hands, the last half, starting at verse 6. The priest is about to perform the lavabo, and he prays, lavabo, I will wash, in the Latin, inter innocentes manus meas, I will wash my hands among the innocent. If you have a missal, you should always come to church with a missal. If you have a missal, read that over as I perform the ceremony at the offertory today, and see how appropriate are the words of the psalmist. Only Dom Guéranger says that the priest must never apply those opening words to himself, because it is our Lord who is speaking, and he is innocent. But read the whole psalm. It has an air of childlike honesty and a happy confidence for the priest and for the faithful to find themselves, as we do, among the happy few. Certainly today it is our case. And in the early centuries, well, remember, the catechumens at the start of the offertory and the public sinners had been sent packing. They had to go out to the porch and wait out the rest of the Mass. From the offertory onward, the Mass was entirely a family affair, and it has that spirit still today. How blessed are we, all unworthy. How blessed are we to be detached from the defilements of the world, at least officially, and to find ourselves, highly improbably, among the spiritual elite. And sometimes you have to say to yourself, what am I doing here? Some say that this psalm, like the Judicame at the prayers at the foot of the altar, is the prayer of a Levite who was falsely accused of some crime, perhaps taking a bribe and perjuring himself at a murder trial. And for his punishment, he was exiled. But then his name is cleared and his reputation is restored. That's nice if you can get it. And there he is standing again before the altar. Now, our sentiments are a little different. It's more a humble but a very happy realization. You know, I was guilty. I did it. But I've been forgiven. I'm washed clean. I'm restored. This Christmas, I may rejoice. And that's how we should feel, too. After all, they have been forgiven, our sins, by the merits of Jesus Christ. He made reparation for me. And think of this, too, how our sins are behind us now. I can see them washing right down the drain. How does that happen? Well, after the lavabo, as the priest returns to the middle of the altar, it stands for our Savior leaving the upper room after the Last Supper and going out to the Garden of Gethsemane for the agony. The passion begins. The Mass continues. Are you prepared? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.